This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
True Detective Night Country is not over. Premieres on January 14th, but we are just getting started here on post-show recaps. My name is Grace, and today we're kicking off our coverage of True Detective by breaking down our history with the show, what we know about the upcoming season 4, and what it's all about. Of course, I'm not alone. First, I'm here with Jess Sterling. Jess, how are you doing?
Hi, super excited to be here. I can't wait to be an amateur detective.
Very fun. We're also here with Dr. Amanda. Dr. Amanda, how are you doing?
Good. I'm all wrapped up in my parka and I'm ready to go to Alaska.
So exciting. Yeah. Second murder mystery set in a cold environment, Jess, that we're talking about in like the span of a couple months.
I know. I just feel like it's the season though. You know what I mean? When it's January and it's chilly outside where I live, I like to be
murder.
In that environment.
Oh, right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That too. I mean, when you think about it, uh-huh. This sounds like a terrible idea, actually. I'm like, you can't really, because like the cold will preserve the body and the snow will just melt and you'll find it.
Yeah,
so it seems like
opposite.
Actually a terrible time for murder.
Yeah, it seems like the opposite time you want to murder, Dr. Murder.
Right. And it's true that actually murder rates are higher in warm weather climates.
Oh.
So that might be the reason that we're
Is
so
that
fascinated
the case?
By these cold weather. Yes, it's true. Literacy rates are higher in cold climates and murder rates are higher.
Well, that makes sense, though, because
climate.
You stay inside and read instead of go outside and murder.
And kill each other.
The
exactly.
two choices.
And to be honest, the hotter it gets, the more I want to murder people. So that makes
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
True.
It's all tracks. Mm.
All right. Well, I'm excited. We're here to chat about True Detective Season 4, a bit of our kickoff, a preview for the two podcasts that we'll be doing. I'll be on both of them. Amanda, you and I are going to chat immediately after the episode and do an episode recap. And then Jess, you and I will do a deep dive each week, hopefully with a bevy of guests along the way. Make sure you subscribe, postrecaps.com/True Detective. That's not all that we're doing here covering True Detective, because Mike Bloom and LaTanya Starks will also be chatting through Season 4, comparing it to Season 1 on the Return of the Versus pod, which is very exciting. I'm excited to listen to. I haven't done the revisiting of Season 1. I know you just recently watched it, Jess, so it should be fun to hear Mike Bloom and LaTanya Starks compare the two, put them against each other.
Definitely. I think we're completely no spoilers here, so no worries if you're like, I'm going to check this podcast out and see what True Detective is all about. Maybe it's something I'm interested in. I won't spoil you on anything. But what I will say is, I think that across the three seasons that have currently already aired, Season 1 is usually the one people point to as like, this is the best. This is incredible for the scene setting, like specifically the location and just like the general vibes of the show, not to mention Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. McConaughey's incredible performances. So I'm really excited to kind of see how, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory doesn't fail me now, that the first season was in Louisiana.
Yes.
And so it's going to be such an interesting comparison to compare
hot season, and cold.
Yeah, yeah. Hot and cold, fire and ice, baby.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we're going to chat through our sort of thoughts, our history with the show. We have many other podcasts here on Pusher Recaps. You can also find, the link to subscribe at pusherrecaps.com/subscribe, and you can subscribe. I'm having a tough time saying subscribe, saying a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I was secretly poisoned before the podcast.
Break it up into the two, sub and scribe.
Yeah. We were just talking language before the pods. Subscribe. We'll be in sub-zero weather. See,
How you'll remember it.
To subscribe to this podcast as well as any other that we're doing here on Post Show Recaps. I'm very excited. Season four returning. A bit surprisingly, I think the show sort of snuck up on us. I hate this, that the last season was in 2019, which means 5 years ago.
Wow.
I don't like that.
Stopped counting years a while ago, Grace. I encourage everyone to do the same. I know we just celebrated a new year, but you don't need to pay attention to the numbers. The glasses stopped working that well after 2000 anyway.
There's a really good Twitter meme of a guy who's 3D printing many versions of the 2024 glasses.
Oh, I think I saw that.
Yeah. Very good if you haven't checked it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's also a Twitter meme that was like, you know, anything before like 2012 is like nostalgia, and then it's like basically a bunch of years are just 2016, and then it was like COVID.
Yeah,
and I think we're still in that.
We're
one.
Still that's there. Correct. That's yeah. Correct.
Yeah. But Jodie Foster is basically the headline here. Had a little bit of a breakout in 2023, supporting role in Naiad, which I think she's like, I don't think she's quite in the running for best supporting actress. I think she should be, but Jess, you. Recently, knowing that True Detective was coming, you have been binging some of True Detective.
Yes. So I will say I watched all of season one and I was like, great, this is cool. I'm into it. This is pretty incredible television. I'm enjoying everything about this. I messaged you, Grace, and I was like, this is incredible. This is the best show. And you're like, how far in are you? And I'm like, I just finished season one. You're like, yes, hit me up when you get to season two. And I did. And the problem with season two that I had was it didn't click with me. It's very different. This is an anthology series, in case you are really, really unaware of what the show is. True. And so season two comes back and it's an entire new cast of characters, an entire new location. We're in LA, obviously very a similar LA, but not Louisiana. LA is in Los Angeles, and it's a very different vibe. And there's a lot of characters in season two. And I don't know if that's the reason it didn't quite connect with me, or if the writing had changed. There was just something that wasn't clicking with me with season two. And to be honest, if you're new here and you don't know the amount of podcasting I do, more importantly, the amount of television watching I do, I really had to protect my peace at a certain point and just stop and give up on things because I have too much to watch to like dedicate a lot of time to things that I'm not enjoying.
Jess Sterling is the most prolific binger of television that I've ever encountered in my life.
I watch a lot of TV. And so I gave up on season two halfway through because it just wasn't clicking with me. I jumped into season three not knowing a ton about it, but I loved season three. In fact, my spicy take might be that like I enjoyed season three maybe a little bit better than season one.
Ooh.
And we might be able to point to like Mahershala Ali as like the only sole reason for that, because he's absolutely so incredible that he stole the show in season three. So my recommendations would be to like, if you're completely new to the show and you have no idea what you're getting into, I would start with season one and see if it like tickles your fancy. If it's something that's intriguing to you, I would say it's like not really, I don't know. Grace, would you call this like a murder mystery? Because it kind of is, but that's not really the point of the show, I would say.
I don't know if I would classify it as murder mystery, because I think the thing with a murder mystery is that you get this ensemble and it's like, you know, everybody in the room together, the manor, the house, or on the boat, and then one of those people dies and everybody's a suspect, everybody has a motive. This is way more, it's True Detective. It's like, you know, fictionalized true crime. I guess just crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's I think that – so my history with the show is I only watched the first season. I watched it when it originally aired. I'm sort of like a Sunday night HBO, like basic bitch, like anything that's on Sunday night HBO. I'm like, oh, I should watch this. And then, and you know, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson were great in that season. The genre, I think, I mean, it's a like police drama. What works the best about season one and not having seen seasons two and three, I can't speak to that, but I think that what this new season seems to be returning to is that it was really like the relationships and the personal histories of the two detectives, of the Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey character, that I think like drove what was so effective about season one, was like kind of going into the psychology and the relationship of those two men who are solving this murder. And again, like the fact that it was in a very specific setting and it kind of like evoked that place of Louisiana and what some of the history was there, and even some sort of, not to spoil anything, but like perhaps mysticism, perhaps not. Like, I feel like that is something that Alaska, being a very different setting, but could also have some sort of the place itself becoming its own kind of character. And we can talk a little bit more about what we know about the setting. But I think that that's really like less of the delight being from solving the murder and having these misdirects and being like surprised. I do feel like the success of the show relies a little bit more on the character drama.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think it's much more a drama than, you know, sort of the, you know, a lot of the murder mysteries end up being like, I think modern day ones feel much more like fun romps.
Yeah. Whodunit. Yeah. And this isn't that.
Is not that. This is, and often like pretty dark too, mm-hmm. sometimes, both from, you know, the idea of, and this is not a new concept, but you're looking at these like homicide detectives who, yeah, are faced with figuring out who murdered someone, and you know, how does one person who, you know, how do you end up there? How do you end up being mm-hmm. somebody who wants to, you know, look at what happened and look at all the information, try to figure out who had done it. So not a whodunit, but basically just said who.
Yeah, more like mm-hmm. More like a psychological thriller than like a farcical murder mystery type of like right. Less only murders in the building and more like, I don't like the Zodiac killer or something like that.
Yeah, completely. I think the thing that's so interesting about the show, it is that it's an anthology, and it is sort of does fit in with like prestige HBO television, certainly to the point where, you know, if you look at a lot of the stuff that we often break out coverage for, it is an HBO Sunday night darling. This one has such a fantastic first season and then comes back for season two and is critically panned. And I was really interested, Jess, to see if that was, you know, sort of like looking back, you know, it comes out, season one is 2014, immediately comes back in 2015 with season two. Although noticeably, that was the only time the show has not aired basically in January. So it aired originally in January of 2014 and then came back about a year and a half later in June of 2015. But seemingly from, you know, your one anecdotal perspective, like did not have kind of the quality of season one, and then returns to form with season three. But it was almost like HBO, I don't know if this is true, but they were like, okay, just leave it. It's just like, okay, we like ended, it was good. Don't touch it. Just leave it. And then suddenly they're like, actually, maybe Jodie Foster could touch it and go to Alaska, and that could be fun. So, you know, it's such an interesting, and again, because it's the anthology, it's almost like that the reason that the second season doesn't work, for any of the reasons it doesn't work, it almost, the fact that it's anthology for season three is not like, well, I saw the season, then they ruined it. It's just like fresh slate, right? Like it's clean.
Yeah, you hit the reset button every time you start a new season because you get fresh characters, fresh location, fresh vibes, right? And so I think it's so interesting that now we're going to Alaska, we're going to a cold winter climate. And it's, and not only that, but something that I certainly noticed in season one, and honestly kind of all the seasons, but the cast is mostly male, and usually, Grace, you know me, like, if I'm getting a strong female cast, I'm usually like hands in the air, like way more likely I'm gonna give it even a try, and also more likely I'll enjoy it. And this season, that's what we're in for. We're in for like a massive treat when most of the time we're looking at either two male leads, or as in the case of season two, you kind of have a mix with like male dominated still. Season four, I'm really excited because we're getting a really strong showing from the female side of things. And that gets me really excited to see what we're going to get. Especially with, like you said, Jodie Foster, it's going to be really, really exciting to see more women involved in this season. Granted, they're looking for a bunch of men, but like, that's totally cool because the men are dead.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see the women, like, instead of being, like, mutilated and tossed in a corner somewhere, actually having speaking roles for once in one of these crime dramas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The other thing, this whole season, I think, we believe at least the first six episodes are all directed by Issa Lopez, and the first two episodes are written by Issa Lopez rather than Nick Pizzolatto, who's wrote every episode of season one and then it's sort of like scattered throughout basically every other episode. So I think that's interesting. The piece that I saw, you know, just to dive into the trailer a bit, we sort of teased, it is set in Alaska, and we're going to follow Jodie Foster, who's this detective, Liz Danvers, and then Evangeline Navarro, played by Kali Reyes, and they're going to investigate the disappearance of eight men who disappear from an Arctic research station with basically
is like based apparently like semi-inspired by a real thing that happened in Russia in the 1950s, like apparently 9 hikers who were apparently like expert hikers were just inexplicably found dead. And it wasn't very obvious like what happened to them, which of course leads the rumor mill to churn and churn and churn and be like aliens, monsters, Bigfoot. So I'm really excited that, like, obviously I think it's best when something pulls like out a thread of something that's, you know, semi-true and then just goes off with it. So I'm hoping that's what we're going to get in this season.
Yeah, and I think you talked about how season one sort of weaves together these two interesting characters and our lead detectives, but then puts them in this sort of world of Louisiana, which does have, you know, this Cajun vibe, and there's this like the mystical supernatural piece.
Yeah.
Judging from the trailer of season four, I do think that there is indigenous representation this season that I think is, you know, you think about people who live in Alaska, obviously there's this Arctic research station, but the people who are indigenous, whether or not they're like Inuit or just indigenous peoples from the north, and there's such a like I feel it's not true crime, but like a real crime history to I suspect potentially some like, you know, missing and murdered indigenous women. It's a big thing in Canada, especially in places that are cold. That is like a lot of history of they're people who go missing, they don't get investigated. People choose them as victims because they know that there will not be attention drawn to them if they do that. So I don't know if that's exactly where we're going. That's the first like instinct I had on there. But I'm so intrigued by, yeah, we talked about that. They've set the show in three warm climates, and now suddenly we're going up to the Arctic, up to Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's definitely part of this premise that I find intriguing. I think that you're right, Grace, that there is like the opportunity for drawing on the you know, the native and indigenous past of the place and the people who still live there to do some social commentary on victims and like the nature of how law enforcement deals with that. I also think that it's really fascinating to think about, like, from the standpoint of thinking of this as a psychological thriller and like setting this in a place during, I think, the long night period when they actually don't have sunrise, and there's going to be like several days in the course of the show, where they're going to kind of be in this internal night and using that as this backdrop to sort of heighten the sense of dread and danger. I find that really fascinating. I know that Dostoevsky, who set a lot of his novels and short stories in Siberia, where he could play with like the white nights, where there is no sunset. Like, I think that that's just a kind of like fascinating psychological device to think what that does to characters to be in this kind of state where they have an uninterrupted day or uninterrupted night. And then again, like having the detectives at the heart of the storytelling be women, having the writing and production be like a female driven team. I think that that adds something that's new and fresh to, like, let's face it, like, these crime dramas can often be propaganda. And so at least if you can sort of sprinkle a little something else in terms of social commentary into it, I'm going to be more likely to be interested in seeing something fresh from that perspective.
Totally agree, especially when we have, Grace, you mentioned it earlier, Issa Lopez writing and co-producing, as well as Jodie Foster being on the producing team as well. So, like, I love when we're obviously, you know, we're getting a bunch of female characters, but we know that there are women as well behind the scenes helping create and write and produce this product that we're getting, because obviously you need the representation both on and behind the screen as well. So that's really exciting to me. And yeah, obviously the title, right? True Detective Night Country. I have to imagine that they're going to at least somewhat be set in the time of year where the North Pole is kind of in like darkness for a bunch of months straight. So that
you like, couldn't pay me to go there. You could not. Pay me. I'm such a baby about.
Well, you hate space, which is a dark place, Amanda. So this
that's one of the reasons I hate space.
It's dark.
Like, I mean, you know, it's a right now we're in the time of year where it starts to get dark around like 5 p.m. and I hate it. Like, I can't imagine
every day getting better. Every day now
getting a little bit better every day.
We had the solstice.
Yeah. Yeah, but what a miserable way to live.
And then also, I can't imagine thinking about the logical implications of having to do police work and detective work in complete darkness. That seems impossible, right? And the atmospheric setting, I'm so excited to see what the show can do, knowing how well they can set scenes in and around the locations they're filming. And obviously I think they filmed in Iceland. It's, you know, but it takes place in Alaska. But like generally like the vibes, I'm just so excited for like spooky, cold, icy vibes. It's a kind of almost exactly what I would, it sounds weird that I would need it this time of year when it's so cold, but it feels like the right time of year to get something like this.
I mean, Amanda, you say you wouldn't want to live there, never in your, you know, wildest imagination, but there might be gold up there. So gold. I think there's still, right?
There you
still
go.
Gold, right?
That's what people there's are gold in them there, hills. There,
I know. I almost said it. And then I was like, is that about Alaska? Who cares? I do think a difference. I do think the earlier seasons have much more of they do have that like psychological threat. I do think that will be here. But one thing I've heard from people who have been able to watch this is that this season has a pretty significant horror theme to it. Jess, I can't recall. I know you watched some horror movies in the Discord over the course of Halloween, or the month leading up to Halloween until spooky season. Are you typically a horror person?
No, yeah. I would say I've gotten much better with it as I've gotten older. I've gotten used to the fact that like if I want to be aware of what's going on and like to watch some of like this really impressive media that's out there, I kind of have to get over it a bit. I would say I enjoy slashers and thrillers more than I enjoy grotesque horror, if that makes sense. And I'm not as big of a fan of jump scares, so I really hope this show usually isn't like that. I hope it continues with that, because like it's going to be dark and spooky. Like, I don't need a jump scare along with it, you know?
Well, we'll see. This is what we've heard, Amanda, that this season has has more of a horror tint than the others.
I think that's interesting. I think season one had like a little bit of that. So it'll be interesting to see how that's woven in to this season. I do want to say about season one, I think that the True Detective theme song is like one of the best theme songs in the history of all of television.
Wow. Yeah, it's good. It's real good.
It's really good.
It is really good. Yeah. You
I'm
have
trying
a take
to remember.
On that?
I think yeah. they. I think they change it from season to season, don't they?
I think that is true for the setting. Yeah.
I was just going to say, so I'm interested also to see what they do with it for season four. Like, I love a show that's willing to change their theme song along with the setting. I feel like it sets the mood. That's like the entire point.
The
of the
Wire
song, right?
did that in a really fun way.
Oh, yeah. Top tier, Amanda. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I do feel like we watch every week. We watch another show just on Full Spoiler Recaps. And then we put the theme songs into a tier list, the top being unskippable. I do kind of feel like I complain a lot when like a theme comes when I'm watching a new show and then the theme comes on and it's basically the same version of like The Crown or Rings of Power or like Severance was like the exception. It was like, oh, this is like brilliant. It tells me it's so unique, but tells me exactly what the show is about. As long as you go like, wow. But I do love the version of shows where was it like Weeds did this and The Leftovers have done this. Everyone where The Leftovers was every season was the same song, but different artists. Is that?
And that's what The Wire does too.
That's what The Wire, yeah. what the Wire is. Weeds used to have a theme song. They had the like little boxes.
Yeah.
On the hill
and then they did covers of it, didn't they?
Then they would change it. And it was, I really love that as well. Something where it's like, okay, I recognize the song, but the vibe is different.
Yes.
And the vibe is what we're like this. The vibe is notably something that is like so integral to this show. You need the vibe. So
and season one was a very like languid Southern vibe. It was almost like a better version of like House in the Rising Sun. But like, so like I would be interested to see how we set the Alaskan vibe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's talk a little bit about the cast. Bit of a redundant question, but how are we feeling about Jodie Foster coming back to our television screens? We Jodie Foster fans?
I mean, amazing. She's royalty. She's one of the best of the best. I mean, she's ever since Paper Moon when she was like 6 years old, she's just been like an incredible staple of film. I mean, she's such a draw for this season. I'm very excited to see Jodie Foster leading this cast.
Same. I think for me, the thing that Jodie Foster to me was like, this was who like was out but not out as a as an actress. I have so much like, you know, for people she basically had to do like a wink and a nod coming out of like there's people like, well, she never said she was gay in her speech or lesbian, but she's like with a woman for forever. And so I kind of love that she's getting a little bit of a renaissance. I mean, she's kind of always been like working basically. I think she's like a little bit like been sporadic the last few years, but I really love Jodie Foster.
Yeah, and she took some time like a little bit more behind the camera than in front of the camera.
Yes. What were we watching that she Tales from the Loop? We watched it as part of the Dark coverage, and she just shows up and she directs the last episode, which was like by far and away the best episode of the show. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Jodie Foster, just like, I mean, I'm looking at her IMDb and it's like kind of wild. Like she's just in everything. Like she's everywhere always. Like you were saying, Grace, there's like barely any breaks in her career. So I'm excited to have her as the lead because I feel like we needed a really strong actor in that lead role. Especially, I don't know. I'm excited. It's going to be great. I think it's going to be fun. And I mean, especially like the rest of this, Christopher Eccleston, like, are you kidding? We're watching Christopher. This is incredible.
Yeah, we're going to get one of the doctors showing up on this show. I'm really excited about Fiona Shaw, who was in the Harry Potter series. More recently, it was in Andor, Fleabag, Killing Eve. Kind of like shows up just in a bunch of stuff. Really like Fiona Shaw. I'm so intrigued by, I think it's Callie Rez. I literally just pulled up the pronunciation and then butchered it. But such an interesting, like, is a former professional boxer turned actor, so pretty fun. Hasn't been in a ton of stuff other than the ring, but getting the ring being a boxing ring, not the movie The Ring. I think this is like her third thing she's acted in, and is getting pretty good reviews for True Detective. It's kind of a fun co-lead to cast here alongside Jodie Foster.
I like the idea that this is going to be like a foil to Jodie Foster, a younger woman, like obviously, like also very tough. She's a boxer. I think that the actress has Native American descent. So I don't know if she's going to represent like the indigenous population in that area. But I think that there's a lot of interesting contrasts to draw on. And I think that, like, you know, she looks like somebody who can absolutely stand up to being a co-star with Jodie Foster. So I'm excited to see their chemistry.
Yeah, me too. Anything else about one of the notable things? It's I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's only 6 episodes as it opposed is. To the show's typical 8 episodes.
Yep.
Which I don't mind. I don't think we shall see. We will judge it after we watch all. So we will judge it the whole way through. But we will also then judge
always
it
be
at
judging.
The end. Yeah, at the end to decide whether or not 6 episodes makes sense. My immediate reaction is that like Evisa Lopez is like there's not enough here for 8 episodes, but there is for 6. Cool, good, fine. But we'll see. But notably, it's 2 episodes shorter. So yeah. We wrapped up in about a month and a half.
Yeah, the only other thing that I do want to point out in terms of like format of the show is often they'll play with time in terms of we'll kind of flash backwards and forwards in time. And so I'm really intrigued to see how that's addressed in this show, considering the fact that we have a bunch of dead hikers, right? Like, are we going to get flashbacks to when they were alive and kind of what led up to their death? I'm wondering if that's where some of these male characters come in. I know nothing beyond I know who the two lead female detectives are. I don't know what any other roles, you know, who these people are playing in any of these roles. So I'm intrigued to see how they're going to incorporate that into season 4, because it's often used in the first 3 seasons. I think like even in season 3, we got like 3 different timelines. So okay. I would be really intrigued. I think the show usually makeup and costuming department is really wonderful with aging up and down our characters. So I'm intrigued to see how they're going to do that. If they're going to do that season, I imagine they will, because it's just a staple of the series so far.
Yeah. I think that this is like these anthology format shows are a really great way for like a different type of storytelling. Like not everything has to be like a multi-season arc. Like, you know, we've talked about a lot of our favorite shows that did that over multiple seasons. But I think that in this landscape where there's so much TV and there's probably like you might not get Jodie Foster to do 5 seasons of television, but you'll get her to do 6 episodes of a great show that's like a little bit more than you want in a movie and maybe a little bit less than you can stretch over multiple seasons. Like The White Lotus is having great success with the anthology format. There's obviously other examples of shows that have run multiple seasons with the anthology. So just as we're looking at how TV is changing now, you know, in the aftermath of the strike and some other developments and the streaming wars and how the streaming landscape is changing, like, I think it's nice to see how these anthology shows are finding a niche and looking to the ones that do it well as a possible model for success for other endeavors.
Yeah, I like it in the sense that it gives some finality to stories that we're not, you know, we love mystery box shows here on Pocha Recast. Then we get so worried. You're like, okay, it's going to come back, but like, can they answer everything that they set up? Like, you know, how much of a plan do they have? They have this whole, you know, 6 episode series, and we're going to get to see it and watch it. And then that.
And how much of that is like beyond creative control because the show gets canceled or an actor leaves? So it's like, it's nice to know that like when the creative can have as much control in this kind of more circumscribed format, like they can really hopefully land the plane in a satisfying way.
I also do feel like there's this notion, I think more and more, that these shows are kind of nice for people, especially in our community where people watch so much TV, that we had like basically over 100 people fill out 10 TV shows that they watch. That those are the ones they liked the most. I don't know if my parents watched 10 TV shows this past year. The amount of people who will come in, just we've had it where like on a show that we're doing a full spoiler recap, people are like, can I jump in on that? Can I watch? Do I have to watch anything before? And be like, no, you can. Like Fargo is the same way that I think people like kind of appreciate this. Like there's a little bit of this, like, oh, I don't, you know, the Marvelification of the world the last year is like, I don't have to watch 17 movies before I go watch the new one in theaters. And it's like, I guess I don't have to watch the first. Honestly, you said earlier, like your recommendation is to watch season 1. My other recommendation is like, just watch this one with us. And if you like it, then you can go back and watch it afterwards. You can watch them all in order or out of order or whatever you want. But if you're like, you could watch the first season to like get a sense if you like True Detective. You could also just watch this one along with us. So yeah.
Yeah, I love that about this show. I mean, I'm nuts and like I will watch all of the things because I just want to know. I just need to know. I need to know what everyone's talking about. Why is everyone talking about this? But I love
nobody was talking series. About True Detective season two, Jess.
No true. One. Nobody was.
Well, they were.
In a bad not, way though. Yeah. And I was like, is it that bad? I need to check it out. Yeah. But yeah, no, I love that about an anthology series is that you really can jump in at any time. And like the lovely thing is,
well, not anytime. You should watch episode one.
You probably should start with the first episode. Yeah. But they also will like possibly learn from mistakes they made in the past as well, right? So like season four could very well be the best season of the series. We have no idea. I'm just gonna put it out there.
The beauty of being, you know, doing the kickoff pod for a show.
It'd be the best. It could be the best. Are you not gonna watch something that could be the best show?
It could be better than Succession.
Stop it. We're not, that's impossible.
Amanda almost got me to say Succession earlier, and then I didn't say it, so I saved it for now instead. I was trying to tease Jess. Yeah. Well, we're gonna be talking about it a lot. As we said, Amanda and I will be live right after the episode finishes airing. We'll chat about it. We'll see if we'll be live on YouTube sometimes. We shall see. We'll chat. We'll give everyone a recap of the episode. About a day later or so, Jess, you and I will get together to do a deep dive on the episode, bring in guests, search all sorts of Reddit theories, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, Mike Bloom and LaTanya Starks will be comparing season one to season two. I am sure they have a way to cover for the fact that the episode lengths are different between the two shows, and I'm sure that they will cover that in their kickoff pod. Wow. Anything else we should say before we wrap up here?
Just excited to get into this. I think that this is going to be an interesting one to talk about. Like, I love the these kind of shows are fun to podcast about because even if we're saying it's like not that kind of classic murder mystery, you can start to solve the crime along with the detective. So that's always really great podcast fodder, and I hope that people will join us in the Discord and on social media and share all their theories as we go along.
Yeah.
Seriously though, I love a wacky theory. If anybody listens to the Yellow Jackets deep dives, give me your wackiest theories. I absolutely adore them. I love a tinfoil hat theory where I could just like sink my teeth into it and be like, yes, this brilliant, incredible. So I'm really excited to be able to do that because it's been a minute. I mean, honestly, I don't think I've been able to do it since Yellow Jackets season two. So I'm ready to put my monocle back in and my super cool Sherlock hat on. And well, I probably should wear a winter appropriate hat, huh?
I'm going to wear a tinfoil hat.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. What's the hats with the earmuff things?
I want one of those. Yeah. I think like R.S. Biskauskas used to sell hats like that.
Well, I'm going to need to get one for this podcast, but I'm ready.
I'm going to brand a tinfoil toque, I think. Okay. Isn't that good? A tinfoil toque. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's good. I'm excited. I feel like, with all apologies to the Gilded Age, we really haven't had a Sunday night HBO show since, I was going to say The Idol.
Wow. That speaks volumes, Grace.
I don't, what came out just before The Idol? I can't even remember.
I don't know. That was Succession.
Was it Succession? Succession is the Idol?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Oh, I thought you were joking. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. For real. I couldn't remember. Wow. It's been a big drama. I mean, people love the Gilded Age. It was very much beloved. But I feel like in my Twitter, it's like basically Sunday morning would be like, yeah, for a while, it was like, oh, House of the Dragon is on. The White Lotus is on. Euphoria is on. Succession is on. Last of Us is on. So I'm excited to get that back. So we'll be here chatting about it. In the meantime, Jess, what else do you got going on?
You can find me at The Jess Sterling on Twitter. Grace and I are always talking full spoiler recaps where we check out a new season of a new show every single week. We just talked Rick and Morty season 7. Upcoming, we're going to be talking about another HBO series, Julia season 2. So
it's actually a Max series, I believe.
I never. I'm going to go to my grave saying HBO because I can't do it.
That'll be a very easy season of True Detective. She was just really mad.
I'm just so mad about Max.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good show name, Mad About Max. Anyway, and then over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we're covering Felicity, and we just announced very recently that we're going to be watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time ever. Wow, both of us completely unspoiled. So I'm really excited for that journey as well. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Very fun. Dr. Amanda, what about you?
Well, I am covering the curse with you, Grace. We are in the home stretch with just a couple episodes left of that show. And with Ariel, I'm covering 6 Feet Under season 2. And we just scheduled our record for the first episode of season 2. So we'll be back with the 6 Feet Under podcast in your feeds next week. And you can
An HBO show.
That is HBO. That's back when HBO was HBO, kids. And you can always keep up with everything that I'm doing on Twitter, where I am at Dr. Amanda R.
Yeah. So in addition to the stuff I'm doing with Amanda and Jess, I'm also covering Fargo, an amazing season of television. I actually think it has quite a lot in common. It looked kind of like the crime nature of True.
Yeah, they're weird cousins, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I would consider checking out Fargo, and then movies with Ariel each week. We chat about Ferrari last week.
Beautiful, Grace.
Mm-hmm, thank you. And we'll be chatting about something next week. We always chat about movies. We did our top 10 movies. Jess, you and I did both the top 10 movies of 2023 with Mike Bloom, and then we did a 2024 preview of television. So you can check both those out. 2024 preview. Gonna be very excited for many things that are coming. So including True Detective, which we talked about. So we will be back. I have not said this whole time when the series premieres, which is January 14th, Sunday, January 14th. And we'll be here with tons and tons of coverage. Make sure you subscribe, posterrecaps.com/True Detective, or you can subscribe to any of our podcasts at posterrecaps.com/subscribe. If you want ad-free versions of any of our podcasts, you can become a patron, posterrecaps.com/Patreon. All right. I think that's it. So we'll see you January 14th to Detective Truly. All right. Bye.